The following broadcast is from our vast Compassion Radio archives and originally aired in May of 2015.
On today's Compassion Radio.
When Muslims are praying and fasting for 30 days every year during the month of Ramadan, Christians are taking 30 days to pray for the Muslim world. And I invite your listeners to be a part of it.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Celebrating 73 years of ministry and adventure. This is the daily broadcast journal that tracks the triumphs of God in the world's most difficult places. This is Compassion Radio. Welcome, friend, and thank you for tuning in each day to this unique radio broadcast and to our brand new listeners and partners. We are so encouraged to hear from you. Our webpage, by the way, is CompassionRadio.com. Take a moment, let us know who you are and where you're listening. It would be such a wonderful blessing to hear from you today. Right now, we're going to hear from a new friend, a gentleman whom Norm has pursued to be on our program for quite a while. You'll soon find out why. Lots of ground to cover today, so let's get things started. Here's Norm.
Well, our guest on Compassion Radio today is Dr. David Garrison, and Dr. Garrison is a tremendous servant of the Lord. He is a 30-year veteran missionary, much of it in Islamic majority countries, but in many parts of the world. He has a PhD from the University of Chicago, and he is the author of many books, but most recently, it's a book called A Wind in the House of Islam. What a great title, and I'm going to ask him about that. Dr. Garrison, or David, as you insisted before, welcome to Compassion Radio. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Norm. It's my privilege and honor to be able to be with you and your listeners today.
You know, I'd like for you, if you wouldn't mind, just to flesh out that bio a little bit. Your missionary service, tell us a little more about that. That's very important, I think.
Well, my wife and I have been missionaries actually most of our lives now. We first served in Hong Kong, teaching at Hong Kong Baptist College way back in the early 1980s. Studied Cantonese while we were there. Prior to that, I'd lived in Japan for a year to study Japanese. I think that's where I really got the burden to take the gospel back overseas. Later, was able to serve with the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, opening up a new work across what has been called the 1040 window, that part of the world that's most restricted and closed to missionary activity. So we were able to see new work open up in the Arab world among nomadic peoples in the Sahara, into Central Asia, the former Soviet Union, and then down into South Asia and across into Southeast Asia, and as far north as Mongolia and North Korea. So we've been involved in that really since our first involvement back in 1982. We were able to live in North Africa and Egypt and Tunisia, studying Arabic there and projecting ministry into Libya among Libyan Arabs, and then lived for 6 years in India, where we directed Southern Baptist work and the outreach to hundreds of millions of unreached peoples that live in South Asia.
Well, Dr. Garrison, that's quite a bio. As we discussed before you came on the air, I'd like to more or less organize this discussion, this conversation, around two different things. First of all, and this is very much within the wheelhouse of our interest here at Compassion Radio, answering the question, what is God doing in the Muslim world? A lot of people think he must not be doing very much because we see what appears to be nothing but chaos. But you have a different perspective. And then the second part of our conversation, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the behaviors that it's possible for us in the West. Maybe I should put it this way, things that we should reconsider. Maybe some bad habits
good, yes,
that we've gotten into that would help the missionary enterprise and the call of Christ. in the Islamic world. Dr. Garrison, you have seen, as we have as well, the fact that God is doing amazingly wonderful things across the Islamic world, and that, in a sense, spreads all across the world. But at this moment, especially in response to what I think the media and others have characterized as the Arab Spring, people have said, well, it looks more like an Arab winter than an Arab Spring. What do you see, regardless of what the media is telling us and what is actually happening in that part of the world? What do you see God doing that would be of encouragement to us and maybe help to ramp up a little bit our involvement with the missionary or missional enterprise of God?
Well, Norm, there is a lot that's going on in the Muslim world today that is troubling and discouraging. And I'm quick to admit that I'm personally concerned when I see the violence, not only Muslim-on-Muslim violence, but Muslim against Christians, just the horrors that fill our cable news every day. But it was something else that drew my attention. You know, I've been working in the Muslim world for a number of years, and going back to our early days in North Africa, we learned a lot of ways not to win Muslims to Christ. We tried pushing every button we need to push and really didn't see a whole lot of response. It was just really a tough, tough challenge. And that's one of the things, of course, that drew us to it. We didn't want to go in places where others could go that it would be easy. We wanted to try to break some new ground. But as I said, it was pretty frustrating back in the early 90s as we worked in North Africa. So by the time our family moved to India in 2002, it was surprising for me to have a number of colleagues and coworkers who were from a Muslim background. And to know of a number of places where we were seeing not just individuals, but entire families, villages, even thousands of Muslims who had been baptized and were now followers of Jesus Christ. So about 3.5, maybe 4 years ago, I was approached by a foundation, Christian foundation, that also had a passion for seeing Muslims come to Christ. They said, David, we're hearing a lot of reports. I understand you're hearing these things too. We want to get to the bottom of it. Would you be willing to take the next 2.5 or 3 years to really do an assessment of what God is doing in the Muslim world? And I was actually kind of excited about it. I didn't realize at the time that it was going to take me over 250,000 miles through the House of Islam, through the Muslim world, from West Africa to Indonesia. I might not have been quite as excited. But over the next 2.5 years, I was able to gather more than 1,000 interviews from movements that came out of 45 different movements. Each movement had at least 1,000 baptized believers. Some of these movements had tens of thousands of baptized believers. But my question, as I went through and gathered these 1,000-plus interviews, the core question was this: what did God use to bring you to faith in Jesus Christ? Tell me your story. I was able to capture these stories, Norm, and what I discovered was, and this was really a surprise to me, because I had to go back and look through the whole scope of 14 centuries of Muslim and Christian interaction to discover that today, in the 21st century, we are living in the midst of the greatest turning of Muslims to faith in Jesus Christ in all of history.
My, that is amazing, David. How do you account for that?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. You know, in my book, I actually unpack that topic. I try not to presuppose that I know the answer, but rather go to those on the front lines who themselves are. We're Muslims and now have been baptized and are followers of Jesus Christ. And I asked him, tell me, why now? What's going on? What's happened? What did God do in your community that would bring not only you, but family members and friends and others among your people to faith in Jesus Christ? And what I came out with, and I don't consider this an exhaustive list, I actually invite readers to weigh in and offer their suggestions as well. But there appear to be at least 10 different factors that God is orchestrating in our time in unique ways. Some of these factors have been around for a long, long time. Some of them, though, are brand new, and it's sort of that mixture of today, what's possible with the conditions that Muslims find themselves in, that is working together under the orchestration of the Holy Spirit to bring about these tremendous movements, these hundreds of thousands of Muslims who are saying, you know, I'm walking away from this old life in Islam, even though to do so is a capital offense. It means I'm willing to die because I found in Jesus the only way of salvation, and I found in Jesus what my life has been missing all these years.
You know, it makes me wonder, David, why is this information not readily available to us? Maybe I should say, because this wonderful book that you have written called A Wind in the House of Islam by David Garrison. Why is it that we have not been apprised of this fact, of this very encouraging report in our churches, by our pastors, on talk radio, etc., etc.?
Well, that's a great question, and the word is beginning to get out, fortunately, thanks to persons such as yourself, Norm. I'm getting to hear this book quoted and referenced more and more from pulpits and from mission conferences as a word of encouragement, and that's what I hope it will be, because it is encouraging news. We've still got a long ways to go, but the message is getting out. Some of the things that have impeded it up to this point, impeded the message, is that it's overwhelmed by 24/7 cable news networks that are reporting, and understandably so, reporting on Hamas and ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram and the conflicts that are taking place across the Muslim world. And as a result, no one's peeling back the layers to get down to this deeper story of what's going on in the hidden recesses of the Muslim world. And I think that pastors are influenced by that. I think people are afraid, and they're wondering, you know, what does this mean for us? What does it mean for the future? And the truth is, it's a legitimate concern. It is troubling that we're seeing quite possibly the eradication of 2,000 years of indigenous Christianity in Iraq and parts of Syria now, and the Middle East, places where Christianity traces its roots all the way back to the apostles. And yet, at the same time, in the midst of these Islamic communities, concentrations of Muslims, we're seeing an outbreak, almost like a viral spread of the good news of Jesus Christ, dreams and visions, answered prayers, God breaking into their lives, new translations of the New Testament in their own context and language, Jesus films and indigenous video and audio presentations of the gospel starting to spread through satellite television, through fearless missionaries, not just Western missionaries, but even missionaries from the non-Western world who are taking the gospel into the house of Islam. And so I think we're going to see this continue to, hopefully we'll continue to hear more and more of the good news of what's happening. But I hasten to say it's also a perilous undertaking. My book, I don't know if you noticed, was dedicated to a friend of mine named Sid, who was killed sharing the gospel in the house of Islam. She gave her life so that men and women in a very difficult part of the Islamic world, which could be any number of places in the Muslim world. There's so many places that are life-threatening. But just in taking the gospel to them, she was killed for that. So that's one reason that the story doesn't spread much. I've actually gone in and been very careful to change the names of every individual that I quote and whose stories I portray, so that it won't be traced back to them, their message. I mean, each of these are located within a situation or a context. I call these the nine rooms in the House of Islam, as West Africa, North Africa, and so forth. But within that, I try to change the names to make sure that I don't end up costing anyone their own life because they contributed to this undertaking, this book.
You know, I'm going to use a name because this man, very courageous man, was killed. He was assassinated in Pakistan, Shahbaz Bhatti, who drove me and my wife across a major part of Pakistan a number of years ago when we first became acquainted and were traveling to a place called Peshawar, a very famous city in western Pakistan. He was assassinated a few years ago as a member of the government of Pakistan. I forget his exact title now, but he was the minister, I believe, was the title of minority affairs, including minority religions. And he was shot 25 bullets into his body as he re-engaged his automobile outside his mother and father's home. there in Islamabad. A very sad thing, but he was courageous. And I wonder, it sometimes seems to me that we in America need a little bit of a courage transplant from some of our brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world who are willing to pay the price, where many of us are a little bit afraid of putting ourselves in a position where, you know, we might be attacked for our faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, we have grown comfortable in the kingdom, Norm. I think you're right. Some of the most remarkable men and women that I've ever known, I met on the other side of the world, both missionaries who risked their lives to take the gospel to Muslim peoples who were not their own people, but they were people that they sensed Christ had died for and that God loved so much that he was sending them as missionaries to these lost masses, but also to these Muslim background believers, many of whom said to me, I actually took pictures of them, and I said, look, I'm not going to put your pictures on the internet. They will not appear in print anywhere, but I want your pictures just so I can remember to pray for you. And the response they would often give me was, tell everyone that Muslims are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Put our picture on television. Do whatever you want to. We want people to know that God loves Muslims and that Jesus died for Muslims too. And I was so moved by their courage. Now, I did not do that because not only did it jeopardize them, it would jeopardize people all around them. But I did want to tell their stories, and that's why it was so important for me to capture as many of these courageous men and women's stories as possible, largely to increase our own faith so that we don't become discouraged when we hear all the tragedies and all the atrocities, but rather we redouble our efforts. We recognize that one reason the whole Muslim world is in upheaval is because, as it was in the first century, the world is going through birth pains, like a woman in travail, Paul says in Romans 8:22. And we know that out of those birth pains comes new life. And if we will be strong and courageous and redouble our efforts, God is showing us that Muslims are responding to the love that he has for them in Jesus Christ.
You know, it occurs to me, David Garrison, that had we been in a position to engage China, let's say back in 1949, 1950, at the time that the Communist Revolution took over the government, took over governing China, with all of the violence that was associated with that, the kicking of the missionaries out, the burning of Christian literature, all of this effort that had gone into the missionary movement in China, we might have said, you know, I don't want any part of China.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where is God? And if we here at Compassion Radio had sought to raise funds for an evangelistic effort in China, let's say, you know, in 1953 or 1952 or something, it would have been very difficult to raise funds, as it is right now, relative to a revolution that's going on in the Middle East. But now look what has happened. The greatest growth of the Christian movement in its 2,000-year history has happened in China. And that old dictum about the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church and its growth. I wonder, and this is my question, if we, let's say, 50 years from now, look back on this occasion when in a place where Christianity originally took root, where the gospel was initially unleashed to the world and had seen what is going on now, and so forth. But I wonder if we would look back and say, you know, that was the beginning of the greatest movement of coming to Christ, turning to Christ in the history of Islam. I wonder if that is a plausible, if nothing else, at least a plausible scenario looking forward.
You know, I think a lot of that is up to us, Norm. I've looked at some of the factors that have stimulated the movements that we're seeing today. And, you know, one of those is violence within the Muslim world. People say, isn't it interesting that all this violence seems to be fueling movements to Christ? why do you think there's so much violence in the Muslim world today? And I say, you know, I'm a church historian, and I've actually looked back over the 14 centuries. This is not an unusual century in terms of violence in the Muslim world. In fact, if anything, there's probably less violence now than there has been at other times in Islamic history. Under Tamerlane, for example, in the 14th century, we saw, without weapons of mass destruction, he and his armies destroyed, some say, 5% of the Earth's population, 17 million people. Mm. That was a time of intense violence, and yet we didn't see movements. So what's different today? Well, part of what's different today is that we've taken the effort to translate the Word of God into the heart language of these people all over the world. We've conspired and collaborated together to press the gospel to them in formats, even if they're not literate, where they can see it in a video format, either through, for example, Sat-7 satellite broadcast, or Al Hayat, which is an Arab language television broadcast, or radio programs, or the Jesus film. Getting it into the language of the people is something that we didn't do in the 14th century, but we're doing it now. And we're also praying. There's a focused prayer effort where Christians are gathering around the world, and they're praying during the Islamic month of Ramadan, when Muslims are praying and fasting for 30 days every year during the month of Ramadan. Christians are taking 30 days to pray for the Muslim world. And I invite your listeners to be a part of that. This is about the 23rd year, perhaps, that they've had this 30 days of prayer for the Muslim world. And it's curious that some 84% of all the movements of Muslims to Christ in history have occurred during that same window when we've been praying for the Muslim world. So all these things are coming together. I think the Holy Spirit is orchestrating these things, saying that this is the fullness of time. Today is the day of salvation. And I believe if we don't give up, if we keep taking the gospel, because that's our role. Our role is to turn on the light, to present the good news of Jesus Christ in the heart language of these people. I believe we will look back in 50 years and we'll say, that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the turning point.
You know, David, I wish we had hours, but we're going to have another hour or another half hour, and that is tomorrow when you're going to be back with us. We're going to consider a question. What is unique about today as opposed to those previous periods where there was virtually no movement toward Christ in the Muslim world? Would you be willing to do that?
Certainly. I'd love to share with your listeners what's happening today that really is unprecedented, something we've never seen before in the history of Muslim-Christian interaction.
Compassion Radio listeners, do not miss tomorrow's program. You're going to be really encouraged by what you hear. Dr. David Garrison has been our guest today, and he'll be back with us tomorrow.
Once again, a reminder, the preceding was a classic broadcast that originally aired in May of 2015. Bram?
Jim, we finished last month a marvelous project called Door of Hope, and this month is something kind of new for us. We're actually going to focus on an entire month of celebrating the amazing things God has done over the past 73 years of Compassion Radio, but also to talk about the amazing things He's putting before us in the months and years to come.
March has always been such an exciting time of the year because it is indeed the month that marks our anniversary.
Back then, it was looking at opportunities after wars and orphanages and ways to take care of children that were abandoned after World War II and the Korean conflict. And those projects, those orphanages, those ministries that were born during those early years are still going. There are many other new needs and new opportunities. Folks, these are the kind of things that Compassion Radio has always been passionate about. And we're passionate about them because Jesus made it clear that He was passionate about those who were suffering. We want to encourage the body of Christ to step up, to know, to think, to pray, to grow, to give, and to go. But as we go because you send us, and we go with you in our pocket.
And friends, as a token of our thanks for standing with us during this transition time, we would like to send you a booklet for the days leading up to Easter. It's The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel. We can use this tool together to prepare our hearts for a fresh experience this year and to answer questions we may be asked about why we believe in something so unbelievable. This investigation into Christ's death answers three crucial questions seekers ask. Was Jesus' death a sham? Was his tomb really empty? Was he seen alive after his death on the cross? Lee Strobel's award-winning skills as a legal journalist will persuade even the most hard-boiled skeptics to reconsider Jesus' death and resurrection. It's 96 pages, a soft cover. Request yours today with your gift this month to Compassion Radio.
And you can reach us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. We have Lena or Paula available to you to talk with you personally about how you can be involved with this month's anniversary month of giving.
Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or you can always access our safe and secure website at CompassionRadio.com. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com. Our phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.